Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It's chilly, so, you know, you said the temperature, Nick, but 11, 12 degrees, depending on where you are, 12 at the airport, but it feels like negative 1 with the wind chill factor.
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
That's what we're all saying this morning. Woo! So we know that there's a code blue warning in effect in Philadelphia. We know that across the region, you want to check because there are some school delays as far as delayed openings, and some of that due to problems with heating systems, some of that due to problems with as well kids getting to school, icy areas, that sort of thing. So you always want to check. But tragically, the cold weather may have been a factor, according to Philadelphia police, in the death of a 92-year-old woman, and this is in Philadelphia's Winfield section. Police say she was found dead yesterday afternoon in the back of her neighbor's unlocked parked car. This was on the 1700 block of George's Lane. And so they say she had been missing since Sunday afternoon. They've been looking for her. Her family had said she did suffer from some dementia. Oh. She was dressed for the weather. She did have on a winter jacket and you know, the appropriate scarf and hat and all of that. But it's just such a frigid cold that they think that she just couldn't handle it. Maybe died from the extreme cold.
Might have just wandered off and didn't know where she was, even though she was. I'm telling you right now, I had three layers on yesterday. I went to pick up the girls from the bus stop. T-shirt, sweatshirt, jacket, hat, gloves, two pairs of socks. And I was just driving out of my townhouse development just to go to the bus stop. It was like a 200-yard drive. I was ready to go like it was. I was going to go shoveling snow. This is awful.
Yeah, it's, and I was looking, you know, normally it's 40-ish degrees. That's the normal for this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, I know that some people say, well, you're whining. It's January, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. This is unusually.
Yeah. I don't understand how people enjoy it.
It is, because it's January. We've had cold January.
Oh, I know. Well,
before.
The last couple. Well,
everybody needs to relax.
I will say this is the coldest it's been since I came back.
Yeah.
2023 and 2024 winter, much more mild compared to this.
By the way, Robert writes in and says that 10 inches on Bourbon Street. That's a lot of snow for New Orleans. They probably don't know. They have no idea what to do.
No, they'll be shut down until March.
Luckily, Senator Kennedy is there. I'm sure he's out there shoveling everybody's snow.
I mean, he looked out his window and he said this.
Help me understand this.
No, they're just not accustomed to it.
Yep.
We also have a lot going on today, and I know moving forward we'll talk about those under newly elected, newly sworn in President Trump. Those DEI rulings going into effect with DEI policies being evaluated and put on the freeze, if you will, put on the pause button. So in the intention of cutting down DEI, but rather raising merit-based hiring. As far as the city of Philadelphia launching a new program in the Kensington neighborhood today, and this is with the goal of sending those with drug addictions to treatment rather than going to jail. So it's a new approach. Mayor Sherelle Parker signing her own executive order, introducing what she calls Wellness Court. And so the Kensington Wellness Court, which is a first of its kind here, and it's really one of maybe a few in the nation, offering an alternative to jail time. So in other words, taking people off the streets and saying you can either go to Wellness Court and get treatment and get employment and get help, or you can go to jail.
I believe officers will cite you with a summary offense, if I read the story correctly last night. I think it's a summary offense, and then you obviously, like you said, you get the option.
And this is what, so Parker has said her action is just a very small step toward the larger goal of ending what she calls a crisis in, well, it's in Philadelphia, it's across the country, with some of these open air drug markets. But they looked at international models. And I know Michael Schellinger, he has written about this. There have been books written about this, that other countries don't view the homelessness issue like we do in America, that they view these as these open drug markets where somebody who might have tendencies then ends up out on the street, and this becomes their community.
Yeah. Well, and we saw it in the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yes.
Seattle, San Francisco. It was like drug tents and camps set up.
So she says that Parker says she's committed and the city's committed that they're going to end this opioid-driven humanitarian crisis once and for all. So the mayor signing the executive order, giving the police department the option, like you said, Nick, you're exactly right, you know, to make those summary, those summary arrests instead of a misdemeanor arrest for certain drug offenses. And then they have do have the choice. If they want to go to jail, they can go to jail. But hopefully, the hope here, obviously, is that the Riverview Wellness Center, this is in Holmesburg, open that treatment and recovery facility where people can go for full recovery. And so it's a second chance for people.
Okay.
So we've got that going on, which is nice. Other news of the day, as I said, as far as Philadelphia City Council, remember I reported this to you yesterday. Today, City Council will have, normally they obviously meet on Thursdays. Today, they're having that special meeting in which they are discussing how to cope with and maneuver with the situation happening in D.C. with obviously President Trump signing into law all kinds of different birthright citizenship orders, all kinds of immigration, executive orders and executive actions. So the city of Philadelphia now council members meeting to try to, what they're saying, mitigate this or deal with this because we, of course, are a sanctuary city. How will this play out?
I was reading a column yesterday. I forget who wrote it, but whoever was citing some polls and some stats said a majority of Republicans are actually against what Trump is trying to obviously pass off with ending birthright citizenship. I was shocked at that. I really was.
Well, I mean, birthright citizenship is in the Constitution, so it's really kind of hard to to put, you know, executive orders don't override the Constitution.
That's true.
Well, they don't, but many argue, and so this is why this will end up in the Supreme Court of the United States. That's where it's headed.
Oh, yeah.
But many argue that the reason that that was written into the Constitution, it had to do with, among other things, slavery issues. So when our country said nobody can be enslaved here, we're going to end slavery, we're going to have a man, we obviously had emancipation, etc. So there was an issue where maybe you were beholden to your original country that sold you into slavery and then shipped you here. And so they claim that that's why that was written in, and that it's not that no other country in the world has such a law where if you show up in a country and you're a non-citizen and you're pregnant and you have a child, that that child is automatically a citizen.
Right.
So that's one of the arguments. It'll go to the Supreme Court. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So we got that going on. A lot happening. I'll get to, and unfortunately for our Philadelphia Sixers, it was a very rough night last night with the
35. They lost by 35.
Hope you didn't stay up for that.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know they played.
144-109. Sixers falling to the Nuggets. Yeah. So
does Sherelle Parker know how to spell Sixers?
L-O-Z-S-E-R-S.
Elkses. Elkses is how she spells it.
Amazing.
It's cold.
Wasn't she an English teacher at one point?
Would you stop it?
She was, wasn't she?
You know what?
She was.
I may have stood up on a rock in Italy somewhere. I think Anne-Marie Muldoon may have this on video of me going a similar spelling.
Oh.
I might have had some wine.
Okay, well, at least you had wine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I could totally understand if you've had a few pops, you know.
So I confess, that's why I'm like,
okay. I'm just under the assumption that Sherelle was sober when she misspelled it.
Yeah, but I don't know. She was excited.
She was excited, yeah.
Excited.
I'm not going to criticize. Very cold, wind chills. So very cold today and a lot of winter warnings, cold weather advisories as we're in the deep Arctic chill. 21 degrees and sunny for your high today. Tomorrow we begin, I'll call this a warm-up, 31 degrees for your tomorrow, for your Thursday, and then Friday, 32 degrees. We finally reached 32 sunny skies for your Friday and Saturday, and as well into Sunday. But by Sunday, the nice piece of this is we break the 40-degree mark, so 41 degrees for your Sunday, finally, and by next Wednesday, we are 50 degrees.
Relax, everybody.
Oh, it's a heat wave.
Just relax, everybody.
It is a heat wave.
So, whew.
I might go for a jog.
Oh, my. Nick, we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. The full Honda lineup is available right now today. It's your local Piazza Honda dealer, Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. get financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months on select models. Online, PiazzaHonda.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaHonda.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring First Edition Kell & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16, let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
It is brought to you by Robert Half. The Big Take, American Collision, Trans Fatigue, colliding with the Trump train. American voters have had enough of the trans agenda being jammed down their throat, and they made their voices heard this past November. Donald Trump is restoring common sense to gender, the 47th president of the United States, issuing an executive order on two genders, male and female. The executive order establishes government-wide the biological reality of only two sexes and clearly defines male and female. And if the election and Trump's actions aren't enough, there's new polling to further prove that America is done with make-believe, and the New York Times' latest polling cements that fact. In the newest New York Times poll, when asked if society has gone too far or far enough accommodating trans people, 77% of total respondents have said enough is enough, which includes 93% of Republicans and even 62% of Democrats. When asked if trans women, a.k.a. biological males, should not be allowed in women's sports, 79% agreed with keeping dudes out of ladies' sports, 94% being Republican, and even 67% being Democrat. And lastly, when asked if minors should not be allowed to get puberty blockers, 71% agreed, 90% Republican, and even a majority, 54% Democrat. It's not hate, it's not bigotry, it's common sense, and it's biology. I would actually argue that those numbers are probably on the low end, considering it is the New York Times, but it's crystal clear. We don't care about your pronouns. We don't care how you identify or what you claim to be. Nobody is preventing you from living your life. Love who you want to love, sleep with who you want to sleep with, as long as it's consensual and it's amongst two adults of legal age. Knock yourselves out and have a blast. You do you. But nobody has to acknowledge you with anything other than respect and human decency. Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and the rest of the new administration had to endure yesterday a sermon from a pastor on Tuesday that turned into a woke lecture on behalf of the trans community and illegal immigrants. Here is Marianne Budd, a left-wing Episcopal bishop of Washington, getting political on Trump's first official day back. Listen and watch this.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples.
Did you happen to notice Trump and Vance? Did you see their heads turn and their faces? Are you kidding me? Completely painful. Now, amongst religious people, some think homosexuality is a sin. With other religious people, they couldn't care less about your orientation or your preferences. And then those who are not religious, there may be some offended by that lifestyle, while others say, you do you and live your life. But in my opinion, with racism dying as a viable playbook option of the left, they have now turned to transphobia, and they have made that the new boogeyman. But as the evidence has shown us, America is not buying it anymore. Not everybody is a victim. Here was Trump's reaction when asked about all of this from the media and the lecture from the woke pastor. Listen and watch.
Mr. President, what did you think of the sermon? What did you think of the sermon?
I think it's
what did you think of the sermon?
Thank you, press. Thank you, press.
Good sermon. Not too exciting. What did you think about it? I'll put it back in your court. That was a great non-reply from Trump. Don't even breathe life into it. Honestly, just keep it moving. You know, I spoke with the head of the Bucks County Republican Party yesterday, Patricia Poprick, for a column I'm writing for Real Clear Politics on how Trump did in Bucks County this past November. Now, keep in mind that the school board has gone back to Democrats before the 2020 presidential election in which Trump won Bucks County. And she said, quote, "People want to be fair and equitable, but the left has gone way too far off the deep end with all of this," end quote. And I wholeheartedly agree. Even gay and lesbians in America who fought through very tough times have come out and said the trans community's nonstop self-righteous obsession with identity and letting you know about it every single day is a major turnoff. Prime example, this video from TikTok, where this individual says their gender changes with the seasons. Listen and watch this.
Did you know, however, there is a gender identity that is linked to the seasons? This is called gender season. And this is a gender identity I've only just learned about. It's a micro identity. It's not an identity that I have ever heard discussed before. It's a new one for me. Gender season is an individual who explores their gender identity in relation to a season or all the seasons. So this might be somebody whose gender expression and identity is linked to one season. So for example, winter. Or this might be somebody whose gender identity and expression changes depending on the season.
Ah, so changes with the seasons. Yeah, it's like allergies with pollen. You just pop a Zyrtec, you'll be fine. Got it. And for those who don't think there is biological differences in competition, and those who still can't comprehend men versus women in sports and why we have Title IX, why we have separation, I want you to process this story. In California, yes, shocking, California of all places, a biological male is dominating biological females in high school basketball. We're going to play you a clip here. See if you can spot who the male is. Listen and watch this. And no, that's not Barron Trump or Dan Borowski. That's number 24, a man just dominating women. But there's more. Here's clip two. There you have it, folks. As dominant as Greg Stocker against a 7-year-old girl at a local YMCA in a pickup game. No contest, not even close. That is Henry Hanlon, who is women's basketball star and averaging 21 points per game, according to Max Preps. He has scored 150 of his team's 317 total points this season. In that video there, in a 59-33 win, he scored 29 points, almost outscoring his female opposition combined by himself. In November, a Christian high school forfeited because they didn't want to play against a man. And the kicker? Well, he averaged 3 points a game when he was on the men's freshman team a few years ago. Translation: he switched genders and he went from being a scrub to a star by playing against women. Finally, lost in all of the news coverage around Biden's exit and Trump's incoming administration is what Joe Biden did with Title IX on his way out. And I haven't even heard anybody talk about this yet. Biden's administration implemented a new rule in college athletics that says NIL payments, known as name, image, and likeness, which allows college athletes to take their athletic services to the highest bidder, essentially, now has to make sure that athletes be compensated evenly, man or woman, to comply with Title IX, which basically crushes the concept of NIL payments and meritocracy from school to student athlete. No offense to women, but unless you are Caitlin Clark, you don't generate the revenue for athletic departments that men do. In fact, only two men's sports generate revenue: football and men's basketball. Short of a few women's college basketball programs, they generate all the revenue for the rest of the school. The rest of the 18 to 21 varsity sports, they lose the school money on an annual basis. Enough with the trans stuff. Enough with catering above and beyond to any group. Live your life. Love who you love, and you should be afforded the same basic rights that the rest of us get. And to the media and the Democrats, Nobody bought your fear porn on transphobia last fall, and I don't think anybody's buying it moving forward. Certainly not Donald Trump in a religious setting. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll get back to all of the conversation on the other side. It's Kale and Company on a Wednesday, but first a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today about the 2025 Hyundai Tucson. That's right. The brand's most popular SUV, bold new design with plenty of cargo space, while its standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any adventure in life. It also protects you and your family with a best-in-class safety rating. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown off of Route 422 or Piazza Hyundai of Westchester on Route 202. Online anytime at PiazzaHyundai.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I am, as Piers Morgan would say,
fobbed off.
A little fobbed off. yesterday was like the tipping point for me. I'm watching that pastor and she's sitting there lecturing. You know, forget Trump. You know what Trump really should do? Now that he's gotten rid of his Secret Service protection and found his own personal security, he should also vet pastors moving forward so we don't have to feel like we're being spoken to by Rachel Maddow.
Can I, before you guys, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
I'm the least religious person on the show. I'm probably the least religious person that anybody knows. So I'm not the expert in church doctrine and all that. But what do you guys expect? It's a church. Of course they're going to, like, the whole teaching of the church.
Did she talk about Jesus? I didn't hear her say Jesus once.
Done.
I thought that you were there about God Jesus.
You guys are the Bible. You guys are the expert in the church doctrine. Not me. But
I mean, when I go to church, they like read the Bible and you
trust me.
Pray in Jesus' name. I don't know.
I do not live the most Christian lifestyle. I've committed my share of sins and do on a semi-daily basis. All right, so I'm not saying that I've never done something wrong. Wrong, but I just thought it felt like a political social diatribe.
It was a lecture.
Yes.
To an audience of how many of her Trumps were there?
I mean, J.D. Vance is looking over at his wife. Trump tilts his head to the left. Laura Trump looked like somebody stole her lunch money.
Melania, she's stoic, though. She was stoic.
Well, she probably didn't understand half of what was being said. She's just like, they were talking about my hat yesterday, and they said I looked good, and I looked like the Hamburglar.
Yes, Nicholas, I look good. I look beautiful. That's all that matters.
I don't know.
Jesus loves me.
I feel like you two don't understand the teachings of the book that you two subscribe to, but
well,
okay.
No, it's totally opposite. Did anybody listen to me in the Big Take?
Of course we did.
Okay, well, I mean, I said verbatim, some religious people believe like trans, lesbian, gay is a sin. Other religious people couldn't care less who you sleep with. Some non-religious people might throw out derogatory comments like, you know, the three-lettered F word that people used to toss around in school. And other non-religious people couldn't care less either. So there's like four different sectors within versus religious people versus non-religious people. To me, that's not the setting to be sending a political message. It has nothing to do with religion or non-religion. I felt like I was listening to a Democrat campaign ad yesterday. Like, I just don't want to hear it. And the reason I probably wouldn't get to this until it was on the cut sheet at 7:45. But I read on Sunday, the New York Times coming out with these polls. And it's the New York Times of all places. So when 77% of Americans are like, you know what? Enough of the trans thing. Like, we've done what we had to accommodate you. Live your life. Nobody's making you out to be a third class citizen. All right. This isn't Gaza. We're not beheading you. But, like, I got to go on social media or I hear these clips where genders change 4 times a year. The hell is she talking about? Because the temperature changes, all of a sudden I go from having male genitalia to female? No, you don't. You have a mental illness. Get help. And stop telling me about it. I'm just tired of it. I don't walk around saying I'm a straight dude. I don't walk up to somebody when I order my coffee and say, I'd like to be referred to as he, him. No, I'm Nick, and I ordered a venti mocha. That's what I want to know. That's all I care about. That's all you care about. Stop jamming it down people's throats. We don't care. It's not 1960. We're not trying to make you out to be the boogeyman or make you to be less than what God created you or what your parents did in the backseat of a Chevy. Just enough already. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody's ever cared for the last 25 years. This victimhood, oh my God, I'm oppressed. You're not oppressed. Take a one-way flight to Gaza and tell me about oppression. Go to Russia. Go to China. There's a genocide going on in China with people because they subscribe to a Muslim religion and Xi Jinping is running concentration camps. Tell me about oppression.
That's right.
I'm done.
That's the new TikTok ad. Hey, America, everybody gets a Uyghur.
Yeah, if you don't like it, leave. Nobody's forcing you to stay. If you think Tennessee's bad, move to Portland. That's fine. That's the beauty of this country.
To Greg's point, this Democrat, this Bishop Marianne Edgar buddy, she was every article, and this is, you know, Newsweek, Rolling Stone, the first thing, Reverend Marianne buddy, a bishop, blah, 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 dot, 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 made a plea to President Donald Trump. And so the shame of it, here's the real shame of it. If she had said, whether you're a famous wealthy person or whether you've come as an immigrant, whether you are an LGBTQ kid.
This is why I don't go to church.
Jesus died on a cross for you.
This is why I don't go to church.
If she had said that. No, listen to me. Can I finish?
Yes.
Can I just please finish a sentence here? Because I'm the only one clearly who goes to church.
Yes.
If that bishop had said, no matter who you are, no matter what community you're in, Jesus died on that cross for you. He didn't look out and say, not for you, not for you. Jesus Christ died on that cross for you.
Mm-hmm.
And let us remember that. Let us be humbled by that, that we are equal in the eyes of God. If the bishop had had a message such as that.
Correct.
I would have respect. Because because that bishop has dedicated her life to God, right? And to serving God and to talking about faith and bringing people in. She had a national audience. She had an opportunity with millions of people who maybe have lost their faith, are suffering with depression. She chose to do a lecture.
Yeah.
And it was a specific political lecture. That's the only problem that I have with her. But to Greg's point, when you talked about it, I agree with Greg that the message is that, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, and in God's eyes, we are all equal. We are all sinners equally.
Well, I mean, look, you know, I've gone to two Catholic churches in my life, a Lutheran church. And then when my parents got divorced, my dad started taking me to a Baptist church. And I would go to church for 2 or 3 years on a relatively consistent basis. I miss my fair share of Sundays during fall because of football. You know, I'll have to answer for that in the next life, you know, if there is one. But like then I have stretches when my kids were born. I didn't go to church for like a year and a half. And when I was in Tennessee and the COVID, I didn't go to church for like 2 years. So, you know, I'm in and out. But here's my thing with the trans, like, I'll give you a perfect example. If I was on a sidewalk and I saw a transgendered community member and he or she was being bullied by a straight white guy, I'd walk right up to the straight white guy and be like, yo, Holmes, leave him or her alone. Keep it moving. So I have nothing against trans people. It's just I'm tired of this nonstop obsession, and America has rejected it. And just when I'm like, all right, we can get back to common sense. You know, if you have a male genitalia, you go into the boys' room. If you were born as female, you go into the women's room. I don't want to see men in women's sports. I don't want to see women in men's sports. And I will bring up the same thing I have brought up countless times in the past. I never see women transitioning to men in men's sports. So for all the people, well, there's no biological advantages. Watch that clip I just played for you, by the way. There was a 2.5-minute version of that, but, you know, there's not much audio other than sneakers squeaking. So I just wanted to give you 26 seconds. I mean, you can spot the guy out a mile away and tell me how that is fair. And I'm also consistent with the NIL stuff that Biden did, which totally flew under the radar with Title IX. Sorry, females, you don't generate the money that men do. And a majority of women don't care about women's sports and attending it and funding it and generating revenue for you or turning on the TV and watching you play. So women do not deserve the same pay that men get in college athletics. The college football quarterback might get $8 million a year. You're telling me that he can't get that now in a capitalistic society because Joe Biden has said the girl on the women's swim team, if she doesn't get it, nobody gets anything? How does that make any sense? How is that meritocracy and capitalism? It's not. It's upside down world. I'm just done with all the stupid stuff. If it doesn't make sense, get rid of it.
What I don't understand is why don't they just, first of all, as far as those athletes who can get their own deal under NIL,
mm-hmm.
why don't they just make that separate? In other words, I would say no more Title IX. Title IX should be separate from football programs. Take football out of it. Football is separate and out, and the schools can deal with giving scholarships to their own grants and whatever to their players because football's a moneymaker.
I mean, that's
holding the football out of it.
Yeah. And that'd be like saying all of a sudden there's an edict at Fox News that Jesse Waters cannot make more than Harris Faulkner. No, I'm sorry. Jesse Waters has two of the top three highest rated shows. His contract, I'm just assuming, he makes more than Harris Faulkner at 11 o'clock because Harris Faulkner's in a, quote, lesser day part and has smaller people viewing because more people are at work. I mean, that's the basic essence of capitalism. You get what the market dictates. It's not socialism. We don't all get $10 an hour. If you're worth $15 an hour, you get $15. And we're not just going to give the person that's $10 an hour worthy $15 in the name of equity.
Well, they all have agents, so their agent would negotiate.
I know, but before we break, I wanted to play this. This bishop was on CNN. Shocking, I know. And explained why she did what she did. I'm just going to play a little bit of it. I'll play the rest in the cut sheet. If you want to roll it.
Bishop, I appreciate your time. And your tone there, so serious and genuine. You see him, he's stone-faced. He then looks down, but he's listening to every word you say. As you made that personal plea to him, what were you looking at him in that moment? What kind of response were you perhaps hoping for in that moment?
I was looking at the president because I was speaking directly to him. I was also, frankly, as you do in every sermon, speaking to everyone who was listening through that one-on-one conversation with the president, reminding us all that in the people that are frightened in our country, the two groups of people that I mentioned are our fellow human beings, and that they have been portrayed in all throughout the political campaign in the harshest of lights, that I wanted to counter as gently as I could with a reminder of their humanity and their place in our wider community. And I was speaking to the president because I felt that he has this moment now where he feels charged and empowered to do what he feels called to do. And I wanted to say, you know, there is room for mercy.
Okay, so there's the bishop. And I would just ask you this, Dawn, because you always surveil and survey, you know, what the mainstream media is talking about, what the headlines are, what is front page material, what is being buried, whether it's locally or nationally, in print, in digital, on television. To me, that came off her lecture in that sermon setting with Trump, came off as, you know, fear porn. People are fearful and afraid. If the trans community was under attack the way the left claims they are, wouldn't the media be running with these headline stories all the time? When is the last time CNN or MSNBC, the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the New York Times had a headline story about a trans community member under attack? I cannot legitimately find one in the news cycle. Not to say it doesn't happen. And probably where it happens is in the schools, right? Which has led to a lot of trans people committing school shootings. And that's not right either. That's not fair. That's not nice. But you know what happens in schools? People get made fun of. They're always bickering and fighting and being bullied and pushed around. Every day my daughter gets off the bus with her best friends, Reese and Grace, and every other day they hate each other's guts. And then the next day they get back to being friends and we'll have a sleepover on Saturday. I don't know what to tell people. The world's an imperfect place, you know? Not encouraging it, not embracing it, but, I mean, where are the stories at? Because you know the media would have it, right? We would have these UC Smollett stories, right? We have all these other stories that come out there. Where are the trans attack stories at? I'll wait. Somebody can print out a full packet of them, and I'll read every one of them.
My only issue with this bishop is that I just did not. I think I listened to most of, if not all, of what she said. If she had said, you know, things like quoting John, the book of John, had she said, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Or the greatest among you will be your servant."
Yeah.
There are beautiful verses, quotes from, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, especially the Old Testament, but I would have sprinkled in the New Testament too, quite frankly. And so I think that through the word of, you know, that's to me what I don't get. And I'm actually interviewing Pastor Sewell, Reverend Sewell, yesterday at like a church emergency. So he's the Detroit Reverend who we saw. He's gonna join me at, I think, 10:30 today. But you know, you heard him quoting the Bible, and my only issue with this lady is that why did she choose the President of the United States as her audience of one? You had an opportunity to reach millions of people, maybe lost souls, maybe people who are suffering. We have a mental health crisis. We have 300 plus to perhaps half a million children in this country who are among those illegal immigrants, allegedly, that are possibly being human trafficked, who are missing. We have missing children. So none of that was addressed, and never did I hear her preach the word of God.
Yeah.
It was her word, her political viewpoint, her message to a president. It was a political message rather than a real opportunity to preach the word of God. That's my biggest problem with her. It was completely a missed opportunity, especially with a mental health crisis.
I love politics. I love social and cultural issues when they're in the proper venue. I don't want it in my sports. I don't want it in my church. I don't want it in my entertainment. You know, when I go to these other venues, I want to get what I'm signing up for and what I'm paying for, not the opposite. 855-839-1210. A lot of people want to jump in on the phone, so we will get to your calls on the other side. So if you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get your opinion when we come back to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. 855-839-1210. Kale and Company, Nick Dawn and Greg, back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, I've got my guy from Marvin E. Cans coming to the house today. Do you know that he discovered, by the way, the last time they came to just service the HVAC, he realized that my old crew, my former crew, they actually had turned off like the circuit breaker on my unit. And so that explains why that piece of the unit was running on electric only. So we couldn't figure out why is this, the Pico bill jacked up. He figured it out in like 5 minutes. That's what, just one of the many reasons I'm so thankful that I switched to Marvin E. Cans a few months ago. And yeah, obviously winter is here. We're in this Arctic frigid zone, polar vortex, whatever they're calling it. You want to keep your home warm, efficient, and safe. That's obviously paramount, and that's why one of the reasons that I had made sure that I got my guys from Marvin E. Cans to come out, change the filter, check the system, and that's when they realized a couple months ago, right before the cold freeze hit, that in fact, there were some issues going on. But if you live maybe in an older suburban home or maybe in an historic area like the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia where I am, you want to consider a ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. Now, Mitsubishi Electric is a great solution for a home that lacks the ductwork and could provide up to $2,000 in tax savings. I want you to contact Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning right now. Marvin E. Cans, that's KANZE.com. Marvin E. Cans. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So people want to jump in on the conversation that we were having. We'll start with Ted in Swarthmore. Ted, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning, Nick and crew. Dawn, thank you very much for so eloquently stating the purpose of a pastor. Donald Trump also has opportunities. When she was speaking, and she'll tell you, I was speaking directly to one. Donald Trump also holds the opportunity to stand up and walk out. He could have walked out. And if we think back to just a little while ago, there was a pastor who opened prayer in Congress who we came up with a new term, dangerous Christian nationalists. Dawn, you would be considered in that category If you look up the prayer from the pastor from Calvary Chapel, Chico Hills, California, then Congress went ballistic on him. They called him a hate preacher because he brought up the things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Ted.
Great call. Dawn, great point. I mean,
I guess you cannot quote Jesus in a church or you're a hater.
At this rate, if Kamala would have won the election, the FBI would have been coming for Dawn Stensland. They would have been tracking her church movements. Ray is in Warminster. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. It was nice to finally meet you, by the way, this past Monday.
Yes. Thank you for coming out in that god-awful weather.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable. You guys are wonderful. Thank you.
You got it.
Just wanted to get in on this real quick. So, you know, here's the thing. If you want to be treated the same, stop telling us you're different, number one, right? Number two, we're all considered the same in the eyes of God. I mean, when Christ was crucified, he was flanked by two criminals. The one criminal chose to ask for forgiveness at the time. And Christ said, you'll be in paradise with me. That's God's way of saying, regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of what you've done, if you truly believe, you'll be saved. So these people that act like, there's no God or they're damned, that's false. And they prey on your feelings off of that. Number two, some of these people are the same people, ones that don't believe in God, but are very, they'll call us brain damage for believing in a higher power. But if we don't believe in, transgenderism or whatever, we're committing an ultimate sin. So they're guilty. We're guilty and they're guilty, right? I mean, do I have to believe in your lifestyle to make you happy?
And even beyond religion, there's no laws against transgender individuals. There's nothing that says you can't walk into, other than a few safe spaces that are separated. And there's a differentiation based on gender. Where are transgendered people being suppressed? You want to talk about suppress? You go back to the 50s and the 60s for African Americans in the South. You talk about like segregation and things like that. There should actually be a big dissertation on the real injustices of the past of our country. Like transgender people, you don't even realize how good you have it in America right now. And a lot of the times you have these people that are just protesting and they don't even know what they're protesting. You go back to the Israel Hamas protests. I had LGBTQ activists chanting for Gaza. And we've talked about that. Try that lifestyle over in Gaza. See how many days you live. Trump, by the way, went off. We're back to mean tweets, by the way. Truth Social last night at 12:39 a.m. The so-called bishop who spoke at the National Prayer Service on Tuesday morning was a radical left-wing hardline Trump hater. She brought her church into the world of politics in a very ungracious way. She was nasty in tone and not compelling or smart. She failed to mention the large number of illegal migrants that came into our country and killed people. Many were deposited from jails and mental institutions. It is a great crime wave that is taking place in the USA. Apart from her inappropriate statements, the service was a very boring and uninspiring one. She is not very good at her job. She and her church owe the public an apology. So I'm sure media will lose their mind. Morning Joe in a couple of minutes will probably start reading that truth post just like I did verbatim. All right, we'll come back. We'll pivot to some more entertaining stuff, but some serious stuff as well. Eric Adams, remember, I mean, this was a guy who was in the good graces with Biden and Harris. And then all of a sudden, he said the quiet part out loud. Then there were raids. Then there were indictments. And now he spills the beans with Tucker Carlson. I'm going to give you a clip after the news. Wait till you hear this. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.